This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma.
Restore my spirit.
Welcome back to Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. With me, as always, is Brother Matthew Olson from the Chipman Rural Congregation there in Lee Summit, Missouri, and myself, Russ Earl, from the Ooligah Church of Christ here in Ooligah, Oklahoma. We're thankful for you being here with us today. We're picking back up. You know, last week we had the theme week there with Redemption Week, and this week we're picking back up, finishing our three-part series on Renew My Spirit. We've been looking at that song, and we're looking at the last, verse is what you would call it, of that song, which says, "Renew my courage, Lord, I need restored." It needs restored. "My cup is empty, refill it, dear Lord. Replace all doubts and fear with faith so bold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul." And so we're going to pick up by looking at first of that first phrase, "Renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored." I think about verses like Jeremiah chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8, where the Bible says here, "The Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." I think one of the ways we can be, good way for us to be renewed and have our courage renewed and to be restored, is to remember that the Lord is with us. You know, especially, this airing, here on Thursday, a few days after the election, we probably all need to be restored and renewed and have our minds taken off some things that we probably ourselves, you might say, the everyday, quote unquote, everyday citizen cannot change. And so we have to remember, you might say, as we say sometimes a song, I think about another song, it says, "We know who holds tomorrow." That same idea here. "Renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored." Well, in Jeremiah 1, 7, and 8, that's what the Lord is doing for Jeremiah. He's restoring his courage. He's building him up. He says in verses 7 and 8, he says, "Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you." So that phrase, "Do not say I am a youth," is like saying, don't say I'm too young, or I'm not old enough to do this, or some might say, well, you're not experienced enough to do this. The Lord's telling Jeremiah, don't think that. Don't feel that way. He's trying to build him up and encourage him and to give him the courage because of what he's going to be doing. He goes on to say there in verses 7 and 8, he says, "And whatever I command you, you shall speak, and do not be afraid of their faces." And now here's the last phrase we want to focus on. "For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Now think of the phrase, "For I am with you." You know, that's what changes everything. No matter what we're dealing with, no matter what frustrations we may have from, for instance, from the election that's going on now, it's probably still going on as this is recorded in advance, but all those types of things, and the politics and the stress of what may or may not take place, and all the different things you see on the news, which I encourage people all the time to turn the news off, your day will improve dramatically. But we think about here in Jeremiah, he wants us to remember who is with us. And we can be assured that the Lord is with us. You know, when Christ, when he gives a great commission there in Matthew, he tells them to go into all the world, and he says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." I think about that phrase, "I'm with you always." Now, some will say the end of the age, referencing the end of the, end of that time or until Christ goes back into heaven. But that's not the case. With you to the end of the age, the idea is the idea that the Lord is with them until the earth is no more. Now, he's not with them physically, but is he with them in a spiritual sense? Yes. They still pray to God through who? Through Christ. God is still with us today through the written word. We get to know more about him every day, and we are reminded of who God is. And as we pray to God, we still draw closer to God, and we recognize that God is with us, and those are things that should encourage us. Now, I'm going to stop talking so much and let Brother Matt add anything he liked as we continue looking at this phrase, "Renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored."
Yeah, corresponding with your Jeremiah 1, 7 through 8, Ezekiel 2, which Ezekiel sent to the rebellious Israel, Ezekiel 2, 6 says, "And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house." There, I think that, God's saying is, he's going to renew our courage. How do we get renewed courage? How do we get filled with the Spirit? It's by reading God's word, right? That's the whole thing, is where we get dismayed, and like you talked about the election, just turn the TV off. Just turn it off. It's going to make you mad. Either way, it doesn't matter. And it's going to dismay you. But renewing your courage is, like, renewing my courage weekly, I'll be honest with you, is doing this podcast or, doing different podcasts or even doing studies. Just studying at home or studying with another brother or sister in Christ. And it's just, that's how you get renewed. And like God is talking about, "For I am with you to deliver you." And I love how he says, "Do not say I am a youth." And when you think about a youth minister, you think about our preacher, you think about Timothy, how Paul kept building him up. Hey man, don't worry about your youth. Don't worry about these people who say you're young, or he kept building them up. And I think that's what God does, is he builds us up each and every day, renewing our courage.
Definitely. And, we can allow ourselves to get discouraged very easily. We can start the day off with, we get in the car and we turn on the radio and we start hearing news reports and we get very depressed very quickly. Here we have what they say sometimes, the top three things you need to know. And if we're honest, 99% of the time, there's not three things we need to know every day. And, of course, they repeat it for 15 minutes. So, that's going to really encourage you. The things we need to know is that, first of all, that God is in control, no matter what is going on in this world today. God's will be done. It will be carried out. That's what we mean when we say that God is in control, that no matter who is in leadership, God's still going to be in control and his will be done. Various types of leaders have been in power throughout history. That didn't stop God. Anything about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there in Daniel, they were told, "You're going to die if you not bow down." Well, they were provided for by God a way of escape. But also keep in mind that their determination was that even if God says, "You're going to die for me today to show your faith and your dedication to me," and they even recognize that. Even if he doesn't deliver us, they say, "We'll never bow down." Which to me is probably one of the reasons why you see that God does deliver them, because they respected his will, his desire, that he could do that, and it was up to him to decide if he's going to or not. We think about Daniel in the lion's den, the treachery and the trap that was placed upon Daniel because he went to his house and continued to pray to God three times a day, which, if you're familiar with that story, that the advisors went to the king there and encouraged him to make a decree that no one should petition anyone else but him for, I think it was 30 days or something of that nature. Daniel, of course, petitioned God. And so that went against the king's decree. So they cast him to the den of lions. But what happens? God delivered him. And so we may not have a miraculous deliverance from God today, but things always seemed to work out, no matter what is going on. Our world is not going to be perfect because it's filled with evil people. and people with some very poor ideas, but God's will always be carried out.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to bust in here, but I'm thinking about, you know, times and stuff like that. Peter and John, when Jesus was forbidden. I know you, in our notes, we have Acts 4, but you think about that time frame as that's when I think Nero was coming into power. And what did Nero do? He persecuted Christians to the point he used them as lamps. You know, he used them as, I mean, set them on fire. Hey, you know, I need a lamp over here, so let's go set a Christian on fire or something like that, you know. And But think about those Christians, how persecuted they were, and they still kept on. They still keep on keeping on. That's what they did, you know.
You know, it's interesting, some of the corresponding events that took place, you know, or some similarities, I should say, like you said, you know, Nero lighting people on fire to light his, I think some, and it depends on what you read, but some, you know, say he lit them on fire to light his pathway to his palace, whatever the case may be. He lit folks on fire because they were Christians. He hated them. Josephus points out Nero's extreme hatred of them. But they kept on keeping on, like Matt's saying there. You know, they were meeting in houses. They were meeting in various places in secret so they could continue to worship God. You know, today we have people in certain states who are being greatly hindered by their government. And some are doing what? Well, some are, in fact, meeting at home. Some are meeting in different places. Some are meeting outside in parking lots. And they're doing so because they're going to keep on keeping on. Now, if we look at this next phrase here of this song here, we have, you know, we just looked at renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored. The second phrase is my cup is empty, refill it, dear Lord. Now, I've said this before, that brethren are to strengthen one another. And despite what some may or may not like this, but it's the truth. No one can discourage you like brethren. And no one can encourage you like brethren. It does go both ways. You know, we have brethren who will be there to build you up during the darkest times. You know, we have those who will be there to bring those dark times upon you. It's sad, but that is the truth. But I think about Acts 4, like we may mention a moment ago in Acts 4 and verse 31, where Peter and his companions were thrown into prison and were told not to speak any longer in the name of Christ. And basically, they're given a slap on the wrist and sent on their way. And in Matthew 4 and verse 31, the Bible says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled, this is Peter and his companions, and he has gone back at this point and talked to others and told them what has happened. What happened basically is they got fired up about it, and they had a prayer there in verse 31. And because of the time in which they lived in, the Bible says the place where they assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's something that was exclusive to their time period because those events, those types of things were not uncommon. But what I want to focus on is the last phrase of verse 31, where the Bible says, and they spoke the word of God with they were ready to continue keeping on. Their cup could have been very much empty after being thrown in prison for just simply preaching and teaching, but it wasn't. Instead, it was refilled by those brethren there in Acts chapter 4 when he comes back and starts talking to them, telling what's going on. They pray, they become encouraged, and they keep on preaching with boldness. And it reminds me more of what David says there in the Psalms about how his cup runs over. Well, like in Acts 4, Peter's and his companions' cups were running over because they were still greatly encouraged, and that's when they went out and preached with boldness there in Acts 4 and verse 31.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to break in, but
no,
that's pretty awesome. And you take Paul for instance too. How many times he was just beaten down and struck, but he just kept getting up and doing it all over. And even in Acts 4, you know, where Peter says in 4:19, he was saying, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." He's putting it back on them. He's saying, "This is on you guys." But being with the cup empty, you know, I mean, there are times in our lives where our cup gets empty, where we're spent, man. Like, you know, like say you're getting older and you go to bed at 7 o'clock, you know, I mean, it's, you know, but,
no, I just, never should have told you about that.
Never should have. But, you know, but your cup gets empty. And I think it's so encouraging to have the Bible study midweek, you know, on Wednesday nights. And not only just that, but get the encouragement of brothers. But like you said, brothers can encourage and brothers can discourage, you know, but we need to refill that cup. And God refills it for us when we focus on his word. And that, those are very powerful, like, because my cup can get empty, you know, and or he's basically asking, refill it, dear Lord. Pray to God for, you know, pray to God for things. Let him know what you need. Let him know what you want. What, you know, that's what he wants us to do. So I think
I've often said that probably one of the most underused avenues that the Christian has is prayer. People, you know, even Christians sometimes will kind of scoff and they ask you for advice. You tell them, well, have you prayed yet about it? And someone will kind of roll their eyes. And I think, well, there's part of the problem right there. We've forgotten the power of prayer. If we're not really ready to pray about it, then I tell people, if you haven't prayed about it yet, it must not be that big of a deal, because you haven't yet talked to God about it, so it can't be that big of a problem. And so we need to pray more. Now, this next thing out here is, it says, replace all doubts and fear with faith so bold. And I have here Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, which says, again, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. The Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you, but will not leave you nor forsake you. In numerous times throughout the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, where we see the same idea in the New Testament as well, where you find people are told to have courage, do not be afraid, do not fear, and it's followed up by, I am with you, I will go with you wherever you go, all those types of things. So the concept is very clear throughout scriptures that we are not to be afraid. We are to have courage and remember that God is with us. And we think about that phrase from the song here. It says, replace all doubts and fear with faith so bold. I think sometimes, and it's very easy, and I'm guilty of this sometimes as well, to have a negative outlook on things when we should try to work to have a more positive one. And that's the idea, one of the ideas I think about when I read this phrase, when he says, replace all doubts and fear with faith so bold. That is, we think about things more positively. We think about them in a positive light. You know, this is something has happened. We could think about something negative, or we could say, you know what can we do that's positive to help turn this situation around? Sometimes we may be literally left with, we may say, well, let's pray about it, and we may not find any other option to deal with that, except for we need to pray about it, because there's nothing else that we can physically do. As Christians, during this election time, which they're worried about, and for good reason, but what can we do? We pray about it, but we also, I tell people all the time, you pray about it, but continue on through daily life. You know, Matthew chapter 6, when Christ talks about, you know, the trouble with worry, he says, which one of you can add one cubit to a stature by worrying, by anxiety, as King James says. And what the point he's making is that worry changes nothing. We pray to God about it, and we bring it to God, and we have to remember that worry doesn't change anything. You know, I tell people, I've said this before in sermons, not that I'm never worry. Of course not. You know, I would never worry, right? But we all worry, but we try not to. But worry, you know, we worry about things in the past sometimes. Well, if it's in the past, we can't change it. If it involves sin, then we should repent of it, and then we could move on. If it's today, then we do our best to handle it. We still pray about it, and we move on. If it's tomorrow or beyond, we have to realize it may be something that may not even come to take place at all. Yeah. But we still pray about it, and we still move on. Life doesn't stop. Time doesn't stop moving. So we bring those things to God, and then we move forward in the very best way that we possibly can.
For sure. You brought up Matthew 6. I was also going to talk about that worry, anxiety, and I just love verse 34. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day in its own trouble. And you're talking about worrying and just the anxieties of, you know, replacing all doubt and fear, replace it with good things. You know, I mean, yeah, this election thing is, it's a bummer. It's a, you know, it's, yeah, there's good guys, there's bad guys, whatever. I mean, to be quite honest, they're all bad, but you know, it's, it's just the, I know I hate this saying, but the lesser of two evils, but I don't agree with some things, but the policies, and that's what you should vote on is the policies, but that's beside the point. That's an election we'll talk about later. But I also want to bring up Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We think of God. We think, well, why did God leave me? God never left you. God never leaves. He's always there. It's us leaving God. God cannot be around sin, but it's us leaving. It's us booking it, you know, turn around and leave it. And like Deuteronomy says, be strong and of good courage. And like you said, is put away the things of the past, you know, it, like you said, repent of it. If it's something you're still worried about, I mean, we're all going to worry. There's a worried thing. I mean, but like back to the election, it's like, can you do anything? You did something. If you voted, hey, you voted. That's all you can do. You sit here and worry about the future. Hey, tomorrow's not a given, right? The past is the past. The present is the present, you know, and the future is the future. So,
you know, and we think about, we talk about the election because it's on a lot of people's mind. We've had leaders in the past, and we'll probably, if the Lord wills, we'll have leaders in the future who will be of great concern to us. I mean, you think about back in probably the 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, any other time period, there's always been those who have probably have the same feelings that we do today. Mm-hmm. They were worried about some things. I'm sure we're not the only ones who probably have stayed up late watching some of this stuff because we're worried about it. This is nothing new. This isn't something that has never happened before. You know, people say every election, well, this is, you know, there's never been one like this. I'll wait until 4 years, there'll be another one that's going to make, we'll say the same stuff. But let's look at our last, this is, I guess, part of the
course.
I accidentally hit the mute button there. But we have the words, renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. And when I think about, I'll put it this way. Our love for God is renewed when we remember his love for us. And I have here 1 John 4 and verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. We think about, you know, I also think about David, who says when he considers the sun, the moon, the stars, and all those things that God has created, what is man that you are mindful of him? And, you know, you think about who God is, his power, his might, his wisdom, his awesomeness, to put it and to paraphrase it. And you think about how small we are, and you think God thinks about us constantly. He loves us. He has great concern for us. I mean, look at throughout the Bible, God is trying to pull people out of sin. Some of the most hard-headed, evil, vindictive, selfish, arrogant people you can imagine, and God tried over and over and over again. When I say that, I think about I think about Matthew. When Christ talks about Jerusalem, he says there, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. He's talking about how they respond to those who are sent to them with the gospel and with the message from God. And he says, how often one together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. That's, you know, basically that's the story we see with God and mankind throughout the Bible. God tries over and over again to bring mankind to him. But mankind, so many times, like a stubborn child, just fights back. You know, it's kind of like a child you see in a store kicking and screaming as her parent tries to get them to behave. You know, they get in trouble, and friends, as mankind, we will one day as well.
Yep, we sure will. So, I just love to renew my love, rebuild my faith. It's like, you know, you lay out all these things on the line, and then you say, Lord, just renew my love, or you build my faith, or restore my soul. Well, how is that done? Through his word, you know, and I love that 1 John 4:19, like you put, was we love him because he first loved us, and he loves us unconditionally, you know. I mean, there's conditions, but we know all those, but I just, the love that he had for us by sending his one and only begotten son down here, I mean, I couldn't do it. I don't know about you, I can...
Yeah, the sacrifices, I mean, multiple sacrifices that were made. I mean, not just Christ coming to the earth, but the amount of time, the amount of effort, the amount of, you know, we think we get stressed out, and stress can cause people sometimes to lose their hair, for the hair to grow gray. And, of course, we understand that God is not a physical being in that sense. He's a spiritual being. But if you were to put him in a physical term, I wonder how much gray hair he would have over things that mankind has done. You know, it'd be astonishing. This last little part here I wanted to look at here, and then I'll let Matt make any comments he'd like. But I think about this phrase, our faith is rebuilt, or excuse me, this, rebuild my faith or restore my soul. Our faith is rebuilt when we listen to his word. Matt, and like just like Matt was saying, Psalm 119, verse 25, he says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. The idea of his soul clinging to the dust, the idea that he is just exasperated. It's kind of like someone who's been out for a long run, and these guys come through a marathon, which I've never experienced on purpose. And when they get done, they just kind of sit down, or someone will just lay down because they're just completely wiped out. And that's the idea we seem to find here in verse 25 of Psalm 119. My soul clings to the dust. He says, revive me. But notice how he says to revive him. He says, according to your word. Don't revive me using, you know, the fake, you know, flimsy ideas of man, the things that change every single day. I mean, mankind's idea of right and wrong is the biggest joke we could possibly look at, because it's biased, it's illogical, it hinges on favoritism and hatred. It changes every single day. And so that's why he says here, revive me according to your word. And when we do these things, and the last phrase of that verse says here, oh, restore my soul. Well, when we do these things, then our soul will be restored. When we allow ourselves to get back to God and his word, because that's the source of all, you know, rebuilding, that's the source of all renewing, all reviving, all rejuvenating. All that begins with God and his word. Now, I'm going to let Matt say anything you like before I close this out here.
Yeah, I love that. When we do all things, our soul is restored. Well, what things are we supposed to do? Well, what's in the Bible, right? That's how we get our soul restored. No, it's not a miraculous gift. It's not the Holy Spirit's going to come down and fill us like the disciples had or the apostles. And, you know, it's a restoring of your heart, your soul, and your mind, right? And when you delve into the Word, it changes you. I mean, you could be having the worst day ever, and you could read some scripture, and you're like, wow. Or you think about it, you're having the worst day ever, and maybe something isn't going your way, and maybe you read about the apostles, how they were persecuted, and you're like, wow, really? And I'm going to go back to this election. I don't know why I keep going back to the election, but maybe it's in my psyche or whatever, but it's just we think we have it so bad, and yeah, there are people that are really evil, and, you know, I truly believe that in the political realm, and they're all out for each other, and they're all out for their own. But there are some statutes and different things that you have to decide of, hey, Christian values, or are they not Christian values? And, you know, and that's where we gain our knowledge and our restoring of the Spirit is from God's Word. Everybody needs to turn back to that. They need to start opening it more. Let's put it that way.
Exactly right. Well, we do appreciate you being here with us today. We hope you enjoyed this lesson. Next time, when we come back, we're going to start by looking at a few lessons we can learn from Eli and his wicked sons, as we find there in the Old Testament. So we'll begin looking at that next time. We do thank you for joining us here on Uncensored Dads, the Uncensored Word. We'd also encourage you to listen to other podcasts here on Bobway Media, and we hope you enjoy those, and we hope to see you again next time. Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bobway Media by visiting us at bobwaymedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we encourage you to please share this program, to like it on social media. Thank you for being with us today.